And so we need to encourage one another. So let's go to Matthew 17, 20 and 21. I'm not going to go deep into this, but I do want to mention it. And Jesus said unto them, because of your own belief. Now, what's he talking about? Because there was a man that wanted prayer for his lunatic, possessed son. And disciples prayed. The disciples said, in Jesus' name, come out. Jesus' name, be healed. Jesus' name, this and that. And the disciples, all 12 of them, no doubt did the best they could. But this man was fed up after a little while of that praying, and he went to Jesus and said, listen, your disciples couldn't do anything. I'm not sure about them, Jesus, but I need deliverance for my boy. I need healing for my boy. And the disciples said, Lord, why couldn't we cast the devil out after Jesus had delivered the boy? And Jesus said the four words, because of your unbelief. That's the answer. The answer is the unbelief. We don't get the job done sometimes because of our unbelief. And I'm preaching to me, okay? And if you feel like any of it could be for you, just go ahead and take that. But I'm definitely preaching to me tonight. Praise God. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, as. Somebody say as. That word as actually means the character of. And you know, you walk in a Christian bookstore, you see the little plaques on the wall, and everybody's talking about the size of the mustard seed. But Jesus did not say the size of the mustard seed. He did not say the size of the mustard seed. He didn't say that. He didn't say the size. But that's what the world preaches. That's what the churches preach. Listen, I don't want to just repeat people because it sounds right. I don't want to just repeat preachers because it's always been preached that way. And when I was young, my pastor told me, he said, listen, when I preach, don't just believe me. He says, go home and study what I said. Find out if I'm right. And that's what I've been doing for about 40 years, Brother Ron. I've been trying to figure it out myself after the preacher preached it. Is he right? I want it to be in my heart. Well, that's what my preacher said. No, I want to know more than what my preacher said. I want it to be in my spirit. I want it to be in my heart. I want to eat the whole roll. I want it to become part of me. I want this word in me. So he said, you can't. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that word as means the character of. If you have faith with the character of a mustard seed. See, we don't know in Western customs really what the character of a mustard seed is, but back over there in Eastern customs, they know because they planted mustard seeds all the time. But the character of a mustard seed is very strong, and it's hard to crush a mustard seed. It's hard to drown a mustard seed. It's hard to destroy a mustard seed. There's something about a mustard seed that is much damage as it could come to it. It seems to want to sprout back and begin to grow anyway. And when you think it's down and you think it's destroyed and you think it's no good and it can't come back, it's like some of your faith that seems like when it's down all the way to the bottom, your faith comes up anyway. Amen. You're not a quitter. You're not a quitter, amen, but your faith is strong, amen. You might be go down for a while, but you're coming back up, and you say, hey, I'm not staying down. I may look like I'm defeated, but you hang on a little while because I'm getting up. And that's what this mustard seed does. And you can read all about it in chapter 2 of my book, Fasting Secrets Revealed, all right, because I wrote a whole chapter on it. Praise God. Verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out. That boy, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is not going to do it. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus was talking about prayer and fasting and building your faith. Because prayer and fasting is a key to growing your faith. If you pray right, you fast right, your faith will grow. Jesus was not talking about small faith. He was not talking about some little tiny seed faith. Fasting and prayer does not give you some little tiny seed faith, but fasting and prayer will give you large faith. Fasting and prayer will give you strong faith. Fasting and prayer will give you deep and high and wide, amen, faith that cannot be defeated, that will endure through the trial and come out on top with victory. See, if it was all about a small seed, and when you really study the chapter or the passage, really that thought and that message about it's all about a small faith, that really contradicts the entire passage there where Jesus was teaching. I can show you, I'm going to stop on that. But five times in the Gospels, Jesus rebuked small faith. He rebuked small faith five times in the Gospels. Woo, wow. All right, let me go on. Hebrews 11:27, my last verse. Hebrews 11:27, here about Moses. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he... If I could flip my page. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. Sometimes you're going to have to endure for a few minutes. You're going to have to endure for a few hours or a few days. 25 years Abraham endured. Endured this thing with the devil no doubt lying to him and pounding his mind at times. The Bible doesn't say a lot about that, but no doubt he was human, so we know that all the human frailties in his life came to his mind, but he chose not to believe the lies of the devil. Just because doubt and unbelief comes to you, you don't have to receive it. You do not have to receive it. You cannot stop the devil from speaking or demons from speaking to you at times or attacking you. You can't stop that. Sometimes they'll give you bad dreams at night. Let me say something about that. There's been nights, a few times, where I had a bad dream, a nightmare. That same night, my wife had a nightmare. And that same night, the boys, one or two of the boys had a nightmare. The same night. This is my belief on that. I believe a demon was passing by. He says, I want to torment them rotuses while they're asleep because they're afraid to try during the day. We're going to get them at night. You lying devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. Amen. Dreams are tormenting you and junk is tormenting you at night. You wake up and say, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. Tell that devil where to go. Go back to the pit from whence you came. Fight him. Fight that devil. Fight that spirit. And he's going to go. And he will not return. He's got to go. Oh, guess what? It was some months later or a year later after I was healed of that abdomen problem, that thing came back on me. I said, you lying devil. You lying devil, I'm already healed. I don't know, it was a week or two. I had to fight that thing again and telling that devil, you get off me. I'm not having you, I'm healed. I'm already healed. That devil will put it back on you if you let him, but resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And God showed me this a long time ago. He said, as it is with temptation, so it is with your healing. So you're tempted and you fail, and God forgives you and you've got victory. So a day, a week, a month later, that devil comes back again. And so it is when you get healed. The devil may try to bring that back, but you've got to resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him and do not accept that. You've got to speak to him. Use your words. Come on now. He can hear your words. The devil can't read your mind, so you've got to do more than think positive. Amen. You've got to say, devil, I'm not having it. Say it out loud in the car. Say it out loud because God can hear it and the devil can hear it. Your sickness can hear it. Your disease can hear it. Whatever's in your life can hear it. If Jesus talked to a tree, you can talk to a headache. I said, if Jesus talked to a tree, you can talk to a headache. The tree heard Jesus. Many years ago, you know, I'm in sales and insurance sales, and I drive into Chicago sometimes, and I go up Avenue O, which is Burnham Avenue on the way south side, and I go up from over the Hammond area. Anybody know where that Avenue O or Burnham is? That what's that side street in Hammond that leads over there? honey, what is that? Huh? Goslin? Anybody know where Goslin and, all right, a few of you do? All right, many years ago, there used to be a club there. A club, some kind of a nightclub. I don't know if it was a strip joint. I don't know what it was, but I didn't like it. And I used to pass by that place all the time. For some reason, I just didn't like that place. I don't like any of them, but I just took a real hatred to that place. And I don't know, for one day, I just drove by it. I was going to the south side on one of my sales appointments. And I said, in the name of Jesus, burn down and don't be rebuilt. I drove by it again. Nothing happened. I said, this was weeks later. I said, in the name of Jesus, burn down and do not be rebuilt. I did that, I don't know how many times, for about a month or two. I'd drive by it. I'd speak to that thing. I'd point to that thing, that club. I'd say, burn down in the name of Jesus and do not be rebuilt. I drove by it one day. I slowed down. I saw that building was down to the ground. It was black. It had burned down to the ground. That building had burned down to the ground. Don't tell me there's not power in your words of faith. Don't tell me there's not power in your words of faith. I saw that building there, and I said, and I had said many times, burn down and do not be rebuilt. And my next part was my belief. Well, is insurance going to have it be rebuilt? Did they have insurance? I don't know. I said, Lord, I trust nobody was hurt in that fire. But you know what's there now and what they built there some months later, a year later? A Burger King. And the Burger King is still there, and I've ate at the Burger King. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, God, I praise you. That's a long time ago. That was back in the 90s that happened. It's been so long. When you're young, you do crazy stuff. You get crazy faith. But we need it when we get older, too. Oh, I can't quit just yet. It's 8:31. Can I go a little bit more? I got some good stuff I got to give you. Can I? Is it all right? Can I get at least? How many? Give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. I got 45 minutes left. All right. Thank you. 45 minutes, Brother Ron, so don't say anything. All right. I'm just teasing about that, you know. There was I heard a testimony about a phone call that took place to a woman in Atlanta, Georgia, many years ago. And it was an apostolic woman, a praying woman, praying, fasting woman in the church. And she got a phone call one night, said, from the Atlanta, Georgia City Morgue, and said, ma'am, is this so-and-so? Yeah. And do you have a son by the name of so-and-so? Yes, I do. Said, we need you to come down to the morgue. We believe it's possible that we have your son here in the morgue. And she said, sir, my son is not in the morgue. Well, ma'am, we need you to come down just to identify the body. If you don't mind, please come on down. And she said, well, no, there's no need to come in because my son's not in the morgue. My son's, you know, he's not saved. And he said, well, this man was stabbed a number of times in a fight in a bar. So, well, I know that ain't my son because I know if that was my son, he would definitely go to hell. And that ain't my son. There's no need me coming. And he just you know, talked to her and finally convinced her to go down to that morgue. Just to go down to satisfy him, but she knew that that was not her son. I don't know how many times he was stabbed in that fight in that bar. But she got down there at that morgue, and they pulled that drawer out, and that man laying there with blood stains on his clothes, and she looked at that young man, and he opened his eyes and says, Mom. And he got up and went home. Because God had promised her that her son was going to be saved. And she told that man, I know he ain't, that can't be my son because God done told me my son was going to be saved. Amen. And God knows how to raise the dead. God knows how to lift him up. Though he was dead 4 days, God can still do it. Oh, somebody clap your hands to Jesus. Stop believing what you hear. I know when you get that report. My wife got a report some years ago. She got a report. We first started our church there in Hammond. We was having services in a hotel. We rented a room, a little conference room. We was having services, and people were starting to come. And We had a little healing miracle service, but she had been to the doctor already and had a fibroid tumor. And so that was Sunday, and on that Monday, she was supposed to go in and have a procedure to have her removed. Doctor told her she had to have her removed. And I had a piece of paper. A doctor gave me a piece of paper with the centimeters. I used to carry that thing around, but somehow I lost it. I don't know what I'd done with it. I wish I still had it. But it was so many centimeters wide, so many long. Anyway, we prayed for her, and we went to that hospital, Munster Community, I believe it was, and went in there for the procedure. I sat out in the waiting room, and a little while, the doctor, lady doctor, came out. I'm sitting there. I looked up at her, and I stood up, and she said, "Well, we're done." She didn't say much. She said, "Well, you know, things will be all right. She'll be getting out in a few minutes. She'll be getting, you know, give her a little time to rest, and she'll be going home." She didn't say nothing about the procedure. I said, "What about the tumor? What about the fibroid tumor?" She says, "There was no tumor." She said, "What? There was no tumor. There was no tumor." I was like bewildered. "What do you mean there's no tumor? I forgot that we prayed." What my faith, it was her faith. I went in there and told her what would happen. She started crying. I'm thinking, "Why are you crying?" Because she remembered that she got prayer. Oh, hallelujah. God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. God likes to remove things that shouldn't be there. I was preaching in Georgia one time, and people was coming up for prayer and all kinds of stuff, and this lady came up. We prayed for her. She went back to her seat and started shouting about the second throw, third row back. Started shouting and talking in tongues and dancing back there between a couple rows of pews. I said, "Well, hold on, everybody. All right, sister, you got to tell us what's going on," because she had just got prayer. Why she's shouting so hard? She said, "Well, I took my shoe off because I got prayer because I had this cyst between my toes." And she said, "When I took my shoe off and I examined my foot," she said, "the cyst is gone." I tell you, God knows how to remove things that should not be there. I'm telling you what Jesus can do, not me. I'm telling you what Jesus can do. Oh, when somebody believes. So faith that doesn't waver. You know what? Faith that doesn't waver realizes the miracle. What I mean by that is it realizes the miracle. It captures the miracle. It possesses the miracle. It calls it. It attracts it. It's like a magnetic force. It's like that. You ever play with magnets when you was a kid? And you're picking up things and paper clips and whatever, or you've got two opposites, whatever. That's what it is. It's faith that doesn't waver. It realizes the miracle. And faith that doesn't waver doesn't give up. It just won't quit. It just does not pay attention to the circumstances. Again, it doesn't believe the senses. The sensory realm. We're too sensory. We participate in so much media, and we participate in so much entertainment that our senses are entertained. And then when it comes to the Spirit of God, God is not going to entertain your senses. And you've got to remain in the Spirit if you want your spirit to be entertained. And you cannot go from flesh to spirit to flesh to spirit. That's why Paul said that you need to walk in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God be in you. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It means the enemy of God. That carnality that we entertain is literal hatred toward the things of God. And it stops our miracles, and it stops our faith more than we realize. And I'm on a journey to give up everything, amen, and anything that will hinder my faith. I'm too old to look back now. I'm too old to quit now. I'm ready to go forward. I'm ready to go on. Hallelujah. Anybody with me tonight? Faith that doesn't waver confesses the promise. Confesses. I said that already. You've got to keep saying it. You've got to say it. It's mine. It's not going to be mine. It's mine now. I am healed by his stripes. I got prayer for this thing, whatever it is. I've got a lost son. I've got a son, amen, that's not living for God. He's never had the Holy Ghost, been baptized, and He's not in church, and he don't go, and he won't go if he's invited, but he's going to. And sometimes you got to picture faith in your mind. And I tell people sometimes when I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost, you got to imagine yourself receiving the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost tonight if you don't have it. You can get the Holy Ghost in like a second. Just in a second. Just now, like that. Amen. It's just that easy. Just that easy. So sometimes I'm up here praying and worshiping, and I'll imagine Josh being up here with me. I'm imagining Brother Wilman, him standing by my side and worshiping with me. And I'm picturing him with his arms in the air. And I'm picturing him with tears on his face. And I'm picturing him speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I'm picturing him leaping and dancing as I do. Amen. Then I begin to well up and cry a little more. Amen. I'm going to dance before the Lord. I'm going to get his attention. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. See, I didn't, that verse from earlier, I didn't mention this part. Hebrews 11, 27, I failed to mention. As seeing him who is invisible, you've got to see it. You've got to see the answer. You've got to see it in your mind. You've got to see yourself living healed. That arm that won't raise up, you've got to see that arm raising up. That leg that don't want to work right, you got to see that leg working right. Amen. That knot that's in your stomach that you live with, God wants to remove that knot out of your stomach. I said that God wants to remove it out of your stomach. God wants to give you a miracle tonight. As seeing him who is invisible. So Moses was able to see God who is invisible. In his heart, his mind, he saw the Lord who is invisible. And if we can take it like that and say, I'm going to see my miracle. My miracle right now is invisible to me. I can't touch it. I can't feel it in the natural realm, in my sensory realm. I don't have it in my sensory realm, but I'm going to, because it is mine. I own it in the spirit. I own it by faith. You know what faith is? It's a firm persuasion based upon hearing, according to W.E. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. It's a firm persuasion based upon hearing. And then it goes on to talk about faith is your title deed. So we just paid off a car. But let's just say that we didn't have the car. Let's just say the car was stolen. Let's say the car was wrecked and it was at a junkyard somewhere and I didn't know where. Well, I have the title. If I have the title, it's mine even though I don't have the car. And when you have faith, you own the very thing that you're believing for, even though you can't feel it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't sit in it, you can't experience it. But by faith, you own it because it is your title. Your faith is your title, not what you're asking for. Your faith is your title. It's the deed to the property. It's the title to the car. It's the title to your healing. It's the deed to your miracle. And when you have the faith, you own it. You possess it. That's why if you're talking about future tense stuff, that's why it's proof that you don't believe it. Because you got to possess it now, because that's what faith is. It's possessing it now. That's what having a title is. That title is proof that you own it. You say, Brother Otis, I don't believe you have that kind of car. Well, here's the title. Well, I don't believe you're healed, Brother Otis. Well, I have faith. It's going to come to fruition. It's going to pull up in my parking lot. It's going to park in my garage. Don't worry, it's coming. The physical part is coming. I have it by faith. I own it now. I'm not going to own it. I do own it now. Just because you can't see it, I can see it because I can see him who is invisible. I'm almost done. So, faith that doesn't waver holds the promise in the present tense. He owns it. I've been talking about that. And one more I want to give you. Faith that doesn't waver doesn't give glory to the problem, but gives glory to God. So, we give glory. Sometimes we have our organ recitals, and we talk about our problems. And by the time noon gets here, we've talked to five people on the phone. And we've talked about every ache and pain that we could possibly have. We've talked about ingrown toenails. We've talked about earwax. We've talked about going bald. We've talked about whatever you want to talk about. But God says, I want the glory. God says, I want the praise. Focus on me. Focus on the word. Focus on the miracle. Focus on your title deed. Focus on what I said and not what the doctor said. I'm not going to focus on what the doctor said. We got to focus on what the word says. Isaiah said, who hath believed the report of the Lord? Who hath believed the report of the Lord? I want to believe that, don't you? I said I was preaching to me tonight. Let's all stand. Praise God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. What is he able to do? Exceeding abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The miracle is simple. The miracle is easy. Happen in just a moment, in a second. Amen. Just in a moment, in a second, just in a flash, just in a snap of a finger, the miracle can happen just like that. And I say can because there's got to be a connection of faith. There's got to be a connection of faith. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's an if there. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. What is the all things there in your life? What is the all things in your situation? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're having faith, your faith is going to make it come to pass. Let's lift our hands right now. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord Jesus. I give you praise tonight. I give you all the praise and the glory. I give you all the praise and the glory. Your name is exalted. Your word is exalted, even above your name. We praise you. We praise you. I lift you up tonight. We need you in this house. Only you can do a miracle. We know that. But oh, God, but help us connect with our faith tonight. Let our faith just be just in that place to receive tonight a miracle in this house. Just that pain to stop, that pain to stop. Is anybody in here, anybody in this house right now that you're in pain or you have another affliction or something wrong that you know you'd be healed if it happened tonight? You know it because the pain would stop or something would change. Is anybody in here like that, that has pain right now in your body? Anybody? Wow, nobody has pain? That's good. We come in a house with no pain because the devil said, I ain't showing up tonight. You done got rid of him, huh? You done got rid of that pain. Praise God. Praise God. The way pastor preaches, no wonder. Scaring the devil. He probably not even in Harvey right now.